May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and especially the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you a skeptic? I think a lot of people are skeptical about Holy Spirit. Almost like it's a new age invention or an ancient irrelevance. How often is Holy Spirit spoken of as a person in their own right? How often do we make the whole Bible story only about a superior father and a submissive son? The Nicene Creed talks about Holy Spirit as one of the three persons within the oneness of the living God. Rublev's icon represents perichoresis, or the divine dance of interconnection between the three of them, into which humanity was reunited after the resurrection of Christ. Here, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul explains in Romans 8. The Nicene Creed calls Holy Spirit the Lord, the giver of life. I often like to use female words when describing her. The first mention of Holy Spirit is in the creation account in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." That's from the NIV translation. The word spirit there is ruach in Hebrew, which is feminine in gender. Of course, God is gender form rather than being of one gender particularly. The word Elohim is a plural word for God, found in the Old Testament, which denotes multiple genders. That's where we get the "let's make men and women in our image" from. Whatever their gender, Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of the earth and of humankind. And there are also other mentions of Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. I've always been very intrigued about the story of Abraham meeting the Lord outside his tent near the great trees of Mamre, as told in Genesis 18. The text says that as he saw the Lord, he went and bowed down before three men that appeared. It is in that exchange that judgment is pronounced on Sodom for violence and inhospitality. It's also when Abraham learns he is going to have a child with his wife Sarah. And it's often interpreted that these figures are one God and two angels. However, I have been amazed, as I have meditated on the text, about the rich sense of God as three in one that overtakes me, and so early in our Bible. But it may just be a fancy of mine, and other interpretations are valid. In the New Testament, Gabriel told Mary about Holy Spirit's involvement in the transfer of Jesus into humanity in her womb while she was still a virgin. There we have Father, Spirit, and Son, all present in the Incarnation. Another famous appearance of Holy Spirit is at Jesus' baptism. We hear told of an appearance of a dove and of a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God had previously told John the Baptist that this would happen. Again, the three are present. I wonder if it was only John who heard this, or if Jesus did too, or if everyone did. A lot of Bible passages make me daydream and ponder a great deal. I get excited. Ask Laura. Sometimes Holy Spirit acts in dramatic ways which are obvious to everyone, like generating a pillar of cloud or fire to follow, or parting the waters of the Red Sea. Sometimes he acts as a still small voice, especially to prophets. Their mystical leanings make them open to hearing, dreaming, or seeing visions. I think Holy Spirit gives many ways of experiencing God to people. She is a creative genius. So we come to the appearance of Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Far from being something antiquated and irrelevant, or new agey and far-fetched, the outpouring of Holy Spirit on all flesh has significance then, now, and forever. Humanity will never be the same again. In today's reading from Acts, we hear Peter explaining what has just happened when people have been speaking in other languages. He brings the prophecy of Joel back to our attention. Joel had prophesied that God would intervene and make himself known in the midst of his people, and that afterwards the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, that sons and daughters would prophesy, that young men would see visions, that old men would dream dreams. So Joel had prophesied, and now Peter was explaining that the prophecy had come true. And here it is. Jesus had promised that he would not leave people orphaned. He would send Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to comfort us, and to guide us into all truth about God and humanity. Our gospel reading today contains John's account of Jesus' promise of an outpouring of Holy Spirit after his ascension, by which rivers of living water will flow out of every believer's heart. Now, some people take this moment as the birth of the church. I saw a nice meme on Facebook this week with a kid saying, "Well, if this is the church's birthday, there better be cake." I interpret this moment as the still small voice taking up residence in each human. Miracles happen when we start to notice, pay attention, and go with the flow. Then kingdom blessings pour out on everyone. This is where we manifest living water. We display fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as described by Paul in Galatians 5. And some of us are better at some of those than others. We might be blessed enough also to receive and manifest gifts. Isaiah listed these as wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Paul talked about prophecy and healing, among others. We each have to listen and find out what Holy Spirit gives us to bless others and play our part in the kingdom of God. Some of us go into our prayer closet. We fast, we meditate, we hold silence, and after much patience, we can sense the Spirit's prompts and leadings. I am grateful for members of this church who have been brave enough to tell me about their experiences. Others of us are interrupted, even somewhat rudely, by God, and told something as we go about our everyday business. Anne Joel had God speak to her while she was cleaning her teeth. I bet they are laughing now about how he could hardly get a word in. God gives us a phrase or a scripture reference. God gives us a person to call, visit, or pray for. a sense of an upcoming illness or death, an injustice to call out, a gift of food or company or money to bestow. God told Craig that he thought Andy should adopt a child. When Craig found out Andy confirmed this with other people, he couldn't believe God used him to speak to Andy. God gives visions. You might remember my prayer as a child, which I've mentioned before, which resulted in a young woman seeing a vision of Christ in her prison cell. I have not seen a vision, but I am quite chatty with God. I had more prophetic input while writing this sermon from someone who sometimes doesn't even think they believe in God, and that God talks to them. And even my husband Darren had to acknowledge recently that God had spoken to him through an old friend who got back in touch. Pentecost is not just about them. As Athanasius explained, the Word made himself bearer of the flesh in order that human beings might become bearers of the Spirit. We don't know when God's kingdom will be fully established, and it can be very tough indeed living amongst poverty, cruelty and injustice. But we can notice God moving within us in our everyday lives and witness by her Spirit. I want you to think about how Holy Spirit communicates with you and what you do with the knowledge and promptings given to you, and leave you with two of my favourite mystical people of the Spirit. As Julian of Norwich prophesied, after all the terribleness, all shall be well. And as Manuel explained, eventually. Amen.